On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
And
rolling
right into it.
Yeah.
Hop off the dock. Come on in, them. Ladies and gentlemen, the water's nice. Let it breathe.
Yeah.
Okay.
The meat.
Thanks, man.
Nice way to kick off a May 2-4 weekend as... Well, most of you probably won't hear this till your May 2-4s are over and you're back at work.
Until you're into Memorial Day long weekend.
Yeah, that's next weekend, right?
Correct.
What are they memorializing? They don't have an old queen like us.
Well, no, and I don't know. I don't, because to me they have Veterans Day, which is our Remembrance Day.
Yeah.
But to me, I think it's in some way tied to military.
Everything is.
Yeah. How do you like that? These are the things I think I know. Which is really just what anything that comes out of my word hole.
I see you're enjoying a nice Molson product over there.
You couldn't let that go, eh?
No.
All right. Yeah, I've actually kicked beer.
How's that going?
Well, I'm not drinking a beer right now. Is what this tastes like. I'm gonna kick beer for the summer.
That's to me, like, and I said this to you in an email the other day, it's the hardest time to kick it. Like, I can see sitting through the winter and sipping on something, right?
Like I like a whiskey.
Right.
Man, I like a whiskey.
But you know what? Nice and easy in the hot summer, just having a cold beer and, you know, whether you're on the water, at the pool, or out on the deck barbecuing or whatever, it's just one of those, you know, like, I think you pick the hardest time.
That's what I do, man. Don't make anything easy. Now, you know what? To me, I transition quite nicely. I'm still going to drink the occasional Rattler. I know that some people find that to be not very manly. I don't give a shit about that.
I'm dripping so much machismo places.
This is it. and dripping perhaps is the right word. And to me... Hot weather as we're approaching the end of May and into June, gin and tonics, man.
Yeah,
man, with a big fat chunk of lime, whew, man, that is delightful. Now again, while we're discussing what's manly and not, like gin is honestly gin's a fantastic. But to me, that was when I was young, that's what old people drank.
Yeah,
G&T. But man. You put enough gin in it, reaches right down, grabs you right by the wah-wahs, away you go.
The wah-wahs.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Interesting.
Down, right down in your little...
Anyway.
Marbles.
Because I think there's always an excuse, right? Like, that's what I said to you. Is like, well, you know, if I decided I was going to do it through the winter, you're like, yeah, but you sit down and watch a hockey game and crack a beer, man. That's how that's supposed to go, right? There's always a reason not to
do it. It's never the... There's never a good time not to do it to me. But I can do so many other things. Like in the wintertime, I like a good whiskey.
Right.
Neat. Right. Just drinking it as is. Room temperature. Bam. Out of the glass. The only thing it needs to be mixed with is my saliva.
Gross.
Yeah.
Not everybody's, yeah. Right?
and not in the cup. Post cup.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And you know what? I think maybe after listening back to a recent episode that you and I did, I'm thinking.
Was there too many?
Less beer. You may get to talk.
Right. Wouldn't that be novel?
There's some of these I'm like just trampling over you. Matt's trying to speak and he's waiting and I can see the playback. So.
And that's, you get to hear them back after I've edited you down a bit.
Well, the one episode was noticeable when I could tell. I'm like, hey.
I had more to say there.
He's cutting some of my shit out of here.
There was one or two episodes where we were running a little long on a couple of things and I'm listening back going, I've heard enough of this, right? Like, how much do I need to pass down to the listener?
Okay.
So
this is more censorship, ladies and gentlemen. We spoke about that in the last, and wanting to take books out, and now it's...
But you're still feeling like it's all you, even after my cuts.
Okay. And what I'm suggesting is, yeah, you are... So, listener, good listener.
Yes.
You may not be getting... The full, he may just be splicing a bunch of shit together, and this may not be, I may be totally misrepresented.
Is this coming from our recent episode of Tall Can Sports where you unleashed on all of Western Canada?
No, it comes with our last Whiplash.
Okay.
Where we were talking about Robert E. Lee Public School, and there was parts where, and I'm like, hey, I'm waiting for that, nothing, it's not there. It's just gone. And I'm like, did I not touch on that? Of course I did, but it's gone.
I pulled a thing or two out, but not much in that one.
All right. See, that's...
Yeah, anyway.
They each were about 5 minutes long, ladies and gentlemen. No, the there was still...
It's got to get...
In terms of the... Of
helping you get to the point.
in terms of the Tall Can Sports, one that where, as you would like to say, I went off.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to, get clicks, right?
Yep. Well, and really what it
tease
is...
It a little.
There's still a lot of you in there.
Yeah. Well, there should be.
Well...
I hear that a lot.
There's more than I'd like. hear that too, right?
I say that a lot.
Yeah.
In the mirror.
Man, look at that.
There's more of me than I'd like.
There's more face to wash there than I'm totally comfortable with. Only so much soap to go around, ladies and gentlemen.
So I just don't bother.
That's it.
Yeah.
Grow a beard.
Right. A nice dirty one.
Well, okay.
This dirty.
Yeah. Yes, that dirty. I can't even go in that. I did. I spent a...
Oh, right.
I spent a morning yesterday in doing a workshop, working for the city, of course.
Working for...
Safe and respectful workplaces. And it's become...
TCA studio.
Okay. So they've actually dropped the safe. It used to be in safe. There was two different workshops, and they've now just gone with the respectful workplace.
Right.
And I feel like... At every turn in my day, I am violating or I am treading on some prohibited ground or I am creating a poisonous workplace. Yeah, there's much reason to feel ashamed.
Are you looking for feedback there?
Well, and you know what? Here's the thing though. Okay. So yes, I do feel like I have, there's some of that I could be more respectful.
Right. So you don't have me there to edit you in real life.
This is it. Now, they did an exercise where they said, I want you all, and there's only 15 of us, I think, in the workshop, and it's mandatory to take it.
Right.
It's not like I've been recommended.
Oh, you're going to take
it. It's not like I've been recommended to take this. It was, I want you to think of a time when you saw something happening and you should have stepped in, but didn't.
Okay. And there are 14 people in the room thinking back to incidents involving you.
Okay. Well, I only knew six of them. Okay. So
I stand by my 14.
Well, and the thing is, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? There's not a lot. There's not a lot of things where I've seen something. And I'm not saying they haven't happened when I was younger or what. But my past is littered with confrontations.
Because you've stepped in.
Because I've stepped in. Man, I could think of 3, 4, 5 right off the top of my head, right? And so they're talking about, well, why didn't you get involved? And people are saying, well, because, you know, it's uncomfortable and there's fear of conflict. And I'm saying, people, yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable.
Starting conflicts with the people in your...
What is this? But I'm saying, hey, it's uncomfortable no matter what you do. You confront somebody and there's discomfort.
Yeah.
Right? But you've had an opportunity to what I like to educate people. Right? To have people understand this is a growth opportunity for you. Right? To just fully understand.
You people have no idea.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
But just, I've known you since like 02 probably.
Yeah.
It's 15 years. What he is saying to you, he firmly believes right now. That anything he interjects himself into, you are going to learn from. He is going to inform you and educate you on how you can be better.
Oh. And are you agreeing with that? That almost sounded like a tepid endorsement right there. So, the whole idea, though, is don't not get involved because you're uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable right now sitting in your polyester pants. Get over that. Get out there. Be uncomfortable in a different way. Grow.
Anyway, all right.
Anyways, Molson Canadian, I'm not happy with the beer. How about that?
Okay.
If we want to double this right back.
Well, to a nice segue, I sent you an article from McLean's.
Yes.
That said, we as Canadians drink more than the world average, but probably not nearly as high as we think we hit, right?
See, the title is a bit misleading a bit, right? Because it's...
Rob loses it. Rob goes off.
Right. And so to me, it was like, we drink the most in the world. Mm-hmm. And now when you get right into it, it's saying we just drink more than the average.
Right.
So we're above average.
40th in the world.
Out of 200 polled.
Yeah.
Man, that only puts us that's a solid B. We could do better.
Head of the Yanks. We're 43rd, 44th, something like that.
Yeah. Well.
Did you take a look at numbers one and two who the heavy hitters were? Because it's all done per capita, obviously, and how many liters per person you drink.
And so, again, that's one of those things when you start looking at statistics and whatever else, and you have eight different categories of Canada and European high income, Canada and the Middle East and the Caribbean high income. And it's like, I don't know. Just give it to me, man.
Right.
Throw it out. Just bam. Here it is.
Right.
Highest,
I don't know what
world.
Middle Eastern high income is.
Well, and then you had in one list, we're drinking 13.6.
Yeah.
One list, we're drinking 10, right? And it's sort of, I don't know.
We'll share this so you people can take a look at it for yourselves. But
right. And yeah. So when you look at the one, and by the way, they're talking about per year.
Yes, per person per year.
10 liters of pure alcohol. So that's not 10 liters.
Of beer.
Of beer. That's 10 liters. Once you distill that beer right down to the 5% or whatever it is, that much to accumulate to 10 liters.
Right.
I think Lithuania.
Yes, it was. Lithuania 1, Croatia 2, I believe.
18.1
What's
liters.
What's going on in the Baltics, man?
Nothing. You're fighting with each other and that's about it.
I'm going to get drunk and be angry.
Well, and you know what?
A bit of that.
And I tell the story. I was in Budapest.
Right.
Right.
As we all are at some point in our lives.
Well, you know what? In a hotel. And huge. One of those older European hotels. Bar is sort of in the lobby-ish. Right. And there's all chairs. And it's this huge. And so there's some Croatian guys there. And they're just wailing. And Finns. Man, right. Some Finns there who were just hosed. and I come from a partying background where, sure, I've done a bunch of things. But, man, these were like hardcore professional drinkers. And so we ended up finishing the night. And there was only a couple Canadians and the Finns and the Croatians left. And these Croatian guys didn't speak any English. And the woman was trying to close the bar down in the hotel lobby. And so she'd gone into the back. There was no beer left. And So there's me and four Croatian guys, and we're pounding on the bar. and the English that they went away from that weekend with, we want more fucking beer. We want more fucking beer. Anyways.
That's what the Croatians learned.
This is it.
Yeah.
That's the English they came away from that weekend. And then they can look down and then you can see the bartender. She's scooping out the side door, out into the... Yeah, am I right?
Party's over.
Calling security on
there
it right now.
There is no fucking beer.
Yeah. Flipping us the bird as she goes out the door. Yes. So
it was a nice UN moment though, man.
Well, but all I'm saying is, man, those were hardened dudes, those guys, and able to wash back a pile of... Yeah, the Finns were honestly so drunk, they were in between the wall and the curtain trying to find their way out.
Been there. Were you surprised at how low we were? Like, I didn't think we'd be number one, but I kind of figured, you know, maybe a top 20.
Yeah. No, I'm surprised the Australians didn't rank way higher than
us. Medal.
Yeah, and to me, that's a drinking country.
Right.
But to me, I think what happens is you look at the UK, Australia, us... Germany even.
Yeah.
Right? Sort of big beer drinking countries, right? And I think that plays a huge part into some of those other places like Estonia, Croatia, Lithuania, Finland, where they're drinking a lot more liquor.
Like yeah.
Actual, as opposed to big beer consumption, sort of transitioning
well, like
right
you said, in. If you're doing this by percentages, right, and how much pure liquor. Now you're liquor. Boiling down how much beer right. versus liquor.
Right.
You get there a lot quicker.
And I don't want to stereotype, but yeah, for sure, I think those countries, especially Eastern European and sort of Western Asian, sort of Russia in through all those Ukraine, yeah, and in Finland, man, I remember being at a tournament in Sweden and the Finns showing up just hosed. First thing in the morning. That's a different tournament too. It wasn't the same one as
first
in Budapest.
Thing in the morning. Just, beautiful.
You could just smell it coming right off them.
Good for you guys.
Yeah. So anyways, to me, I was not surprised.
I mentioned on the Unforced Errors podcast last week, the passing of Chris Cornell. And I know you're a bigger fan of his than I was. There was something, as I said on that show, that I just don't. There's something about his voice that just didn't register for me, but there was never any denying his talent.
Man, I love it because to me, it doesn't matter what he. See, I did it again, right? You hadn't finished. You hadn't.
That's okay. Our listeners are used to this.
You hadn't finished your thought, and I'm just like, wow. To me, it doesn't matter what he sings, right?
Well, almost. Unless he's working with Timberland.
Yeah. Okay. That was terrible.
Yeah.
But that's because the music he's chosen to.
Yeah.
No matter what he's saying, he sounded manly. You know what I mean? He sort of had a great voice. And in terms of the range, he could be very low and he could go very high.
I didn't hear him get too low too often.
No, but well, you heard him yelling a lot.
Yes.
Like to me, if you're not a huge Soundgarden fan.
No, that's right.
Right. Like and Super Unknown is the biggest one in terms of their albums. But to me, I was always Bad Motorfinger. That's the best. That's the best album. It's raw. It's unpolished. It's just, yeah, I love it. And to me, that's him at his best.
The thing I went back to upon hearing the news and just wanting to try and be a little more familiar as people do, right, is I'm surprised I didn't get more, like, to me, Audioslave was the best shot at it, right? Like, I dig Rage, right, against the Machine. And I thought, you know, maybe that combination, if I'm going to find something I like here, and it's not to say I hated all the songs or anything like that.
Yeah.
There was a couple I dug and a couple that were okay, but it just didn't really speak to me like it did to a lot of people. And especially in that kind of grunge age range.
In terms of the Seattle sounds, right? Mm-hmm. They were heavier.
Yeah.
Right. They sort of were at the top end of that range of Nirvana, Pearl Jam,
exactly,
Alice in Chains,
And so I get into Rage Against the Machine a little bit and thinking, okay, this is, you know, Audioslave is him with Rage after, what's his name,
Zach De La Roja.
Right, after he splits.
Hey, dude, you're too angry. Get out.
Wow. Our band is called Rage.
Yes, and you're too angry.
Right. And I liked the tempo of the music a little better. I liked it. But it's him for me. It's something about his voice that just didn't.
Well, and so you know, you can tell a little bit, especially in the first Audioslave album, Audioslave, right, which was Cochise and everything else that's on that, Gasoline.
Yeah.
I love that album.
Right.
To me, it's not, you can get a bit of Tom Morello.
Yeah.
Right from it, but it's not sort of balls out in front Tom Morello.
No, not at all.
Like you got in Rage.
Right.
And part of Rage was Zach, his vocals, right? And so to me, you're getting a toned down Morello and the band, and more of what you don't like in Chris Cornell.
Right, and like Rage had that kind of almost rap cross to it, right?
It was very much a hybrid sort of.
And now you're back to, you know, Chris Cornell is singing, and that's what he does, and that's what people love. So, you get it, but it wasn't. I just figured if there was going to be a place where I was going to dig him, it was going to be there, and let's start there. And it still just wasn't.
Yeah, but to me, if you listen to his voice as he does even torn down acoustic stuff,
yeah,
right? Some of his covers, like to me, his version of Led Zeppelin's Thank You.
Right.
Man, you listen to that, that's an awesome tune. And I like his voice better with that than Robert Plant's. Now, I know that's sacrilege.
Sure.
But to me, if you listen to it, or his versions of You Sent It On To Me, and he does Prince's Nothing Compares To You.
Yep.
Which I always think of as
Prince's or Sinead O'Connor.
Well, it's Prince's.
Oh, well, yeah. On the Unforced Errors podcast, we went out on that and I said it was Sinead's. So,
okay.
So that's what I know. But well,
and so, yeah, it's actually a Prince tune that she did. Mm-hmm. Hers is way more popular and I don't even know if he did it because you certainly can't find any Prince stuff on YouTube, right? Or it's very hard. You can find some live stuff. He would fight. He was one of those people that worked tirelessly to keep his stuff off.
Yeah.
So which is terrible when you're hankering for a little raspberry beret, but
as we all are in our day,
this is it. Everybody could use a little bit of that. You hear his version.
Well,
of
how
that.
About the one of he's playing the guitar to one by U2 and singing the lyrics
to Metallica's one
Metallica.
Yeah.
Unreal, man. Like, there's just no...
Well, that's that same show. It's either in Vancouver...
It's Victoria. Yeah.
Victoria.
At the Royal Theater.
He does Billie Jean.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Jackson's.
Yeah.
He does Nothing Compares to You. There's that one with the music. Yeah. He's like, I was looking for this, and I got the lyrics to that. And so he's... Yeah. And it's crazy.
And you have to be kind of an evil genius to be able to put that together, right? There's no way around the talent that he had.
Right.
So there is, and that is the stuff that I do enjoy more is the stripped down acoustic stuff where you can just kind of appreciate his musical talents.
Well, then you won't like, but see, to me, Bad Motor Finger, that's got Outshine, My Wave, Rusty Cage, Jesus Christ Pose, like that all comes off of that album. And to me, it's just, man, it's out there. It's just a punch in the face. And so we talked about it, you know, in a couple shows ago on Audio Whiplash, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Pearl Jam, when they accepted, they were saying, and you know, and to our Seattle brothers, Soundgarden, right, who should be in here too.
Yeah.
Right.
You figure next year now.
It's a nice little sort of shout out. Well, and to me, yeah, Soundgarden would never be in there before Pearl Jam or Nirvana or.
Sure.
Like to me, they are, you know, a notch down from that. But to me, man, and as their sound evolved, right, into having stuff with, you know, mandolins in it, and just, to me, they were my favorite of the Seattle bands.
So one of those big, this will be one of those things where within the next 3 months you start hearing reports of, you know, Chris Cornell and Soundgarden doubling, tripling their monthly purchases on iTunes and stuff like that.
For sure. Nothing
always happens, right?
Wikipedia hits, Google searches.
Right.
And the thing is, we're going to see how this all unfolds, right? As it turned out, they said he was found. And tweeting out during he'd done a show that night, you know, tweeting
in
out,
Detroit.
You know, great to be back in the Rock City, right? And you listen to the show and little clips that I'm hearing from it, and right, and he sounded in good form.
Right.
Right. And so then as it goes through, they're talking about, you know, many of the Detroit police saying many of the signs of suicide right? And his family saying, no way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's still a lot to be kind of uncovered there in terms of as to what exactly happened, right?
And I don't know, but clearly there's a lot of abuse issues in his past, right? And so you wonder sometimes, and this is just flat out wondering and speculation like everybody else does, right? If you just dabble a bit, right? And as somebody who has been sober, you know, if you dabble, if your body just can't, you haven't mixed quite right. You're thinking, I can still do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But to me at 52, right, still looking good, rocking out, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like now, you know, you never know with mental illness, right? If that's the case and where you are, because sometimes you can see people who are just.
Trigger something.
Yeah. They're high, right? And then you just, I mean, high, like a natural, like. Just loving it. I'm doing the thing I love. You know, Soundgarden is essentially back and they're touring and they're doing this and the show's cooking, right? And then you just either, whatever happens, something that triggers that low.
When you read that for a lot of performers of any kind, it's that rush of being on stage and that, as you said, the natural high that goes with it. Then you get back and you're in this hotel room by yourself and you're on the road and you're a long way from the family. You have this crash that has nothing to do with drugs. And that's why drugs and alcohol end up coming into it is to try and numb some of that. But, you know, you have heard that before, that people can crash pretty hard after a wicked high, right?
Well, so. And it's like anybody involved in sports, you know, when you compete, right, and you get to live those incredible highs or the moments that come from competing or performing, right, in this instance. And then when it's done, right, and it's over, period, right? And that's how you see things because you don't find that anywhere else in life.
No.
So to me, yeah, sad, man. And I think there's sort of more Chris Cornell fans out there than you would think.
Right? Oh, there's no doubt. And you could see it that day as this, you know, outpouring online of, you know, I saw one, not to make light of it, but one great tweet that said, to you early 20-somethings who don't know Chris Cornell is, think of a musician that you really like, probably a DJ who sucks ass, and now imagine he's dead, right? Like, something
like that. Yeah. And you were talking about off-air when we briefly, you know, kicked around the idea, right? You were talking about the 6 degrees of separation in Seattle music in those days, which was really like 2 degrees.
For most of them, yeah, you didn't have to go far.
Right, whether it was, and so you talk about, you see as it carries on, right, the connection between Mother Love Bone and...
Great name.
And loves the bone. And Eddie Vedder and how he loved that. And Temple the Dog, which is, you know, essentially the foundation for what would become Pearl Jam. And as Chris Cornell moved away and Soundgarden and just... Yeah, how that whole scene is just this big melange.
Alice in Chains was in there at some point, right? And a couple of pieces who toured with Nirvana at different times. It was really fascinating to hear. And you can find it on the Ongoing History and New Music podcast with Alan Cross. They just re-released it, and it was super interesting to hear how his career kind of got started and how intertwined it was with this one city's scene, right? It was...
Well, and it's not a huge city, Seattle, right? And it's, you know, it's a big enough city, but it's not... It's not New York. It's not L.A. And when you're churning out that many bands, of course there's going to be cross-pollination and influence and all that sort of stuff at that same time, right? You pluck a couple of gem bands out of that area and you're like, well, what else do we got?
Yeah.
Have we mined all of this, right? And you're like, oh, look at all this shit. And you wonder how many other cities that could actually happen in, but it just doesn't because you got a couple hit it big and you're just like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it all happened at once. It became this kind of chain reaction. It was wild so I would recommend
flannel shirts everywhere.
If you are interested in that kind of scene, in that type of music, I would definitely recommend that Ongoing History and New Music podcast with Alan Cross. It's on there. So
right on.
Let's wrap this one up.
Wait.
Okay.
I want to touch on Trump.
Yeah, we're going to do that on the next one.
I didn't want to touch on Trump. Forget about it.
Good night, everybody.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.